Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HR Latte, your first cup of talent management whipped to perfection.
I think I need to write the rest of that song. The intro's so catchy. Welcome to HR Latte this morning. I did write that, by the way. That was me. I wrote it. Quite fun. I'm very excited today. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out what it's all about. I just told my guest prior to launching the show this morning that I have never been nervous about doing a show until today. And this is the truth. I don't know why. And I think it's got to be because he is so well-liked across the universe. I mean, I'm very excited to welcome Steve Brown to HR Latte. Hey, Steve, thanks for joining me this morning.
Hey, Rayanne, thanks for having me. This is great. It's a nice way to start the day.
Well, I can't tell you enough how excited I am for you to be here. I actually reached out to Jennifer McClure and said, hey, I need to get you on HR Latte. I had a guest drop. Can you join me next week? And she said, can't. I'm really busy, but you need to talk to Steve Brown. And so I thought, well, gosh, I don't think I know him very well, but I'll send a message. And true to the nature that is very open about you, everybody loves you, you were eager to talk to me and accept the invitation. So thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Oh, you're welcome. I think, you know, having these connections is more important to me than anything else. And not just knowing each other socially, but making more connections like this so that we take time to get to know each other better. I wish more people would do it. And if we can show them how to do that, I'm in.
I'm in too. I love this part of my day, of my job, of my life. And so I'm so happy to have you here today. Steve, before we get going, can you just give us a brief rundown, background, your elevator pitch of who you are and what you do?
Sure. My current role is the Executive Director of Human Resources for La Rosa's Pizzeria. La Rosa's is a regional chain here in the greater Cincinnati area. We have 67 pizzerias. I help do HR for 16 of them. The rest of them are franchises. We have about 1,200 team members, and I get to do HR in a completely different way than most companies. Have a lot of latitude and a lot of fun doing it. I'm also very active in social media and in SHRM. I'm currently the MAC rep for SHRM for the North Central region, so I'm over 10 states in SHRM, and that's really cool. I really love doing that too, trying to make our profession better.
Well, I am so happy to have you here today, and I have to back up a bit. There are 67 pizzerias in the Cincinnati region?
Yeah, it's we're a tradition. We've
wow.
been in business for 61 years. If people want to have fun with this, really, it'd be fun. If you're listening to the show, tweet our social media person. Our address is at La Rosa's, LaRosa's Pizza.
And awesome.
They're wonderful. We're a tradition. It's much different than a lot of restaurants. We have people that will eat 2 to 3 times a week at our restaurant because it's a place to gather. It's a great family environment, and it's a full-service Italian place.
And if I read correctly, 1,400 employees?
Yes. Well, we're about 1,200 now. Across the chain, we have about 4,000.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's a pretty substantial company.
Okay. So let's get into what my series is about for the month of April. Michael Vandevort was my guest last week, and we talked about creating a positive work experience so that you have a happy workforce. So I want to jump right into that and the idea of creating a positive workforce. And I believe that you are probably an expert at this. You're such a positive guy. And I want to talk about what that entails. What does it entail, the effort to go forth and create a positive workforce? And if you can, how can HR have a role in creating that positive work environment?
Well, I think that's a great way to approach it, Rayanne, because too often we aren't seen in a positive light. Some of that is on us as HR professionals, and some of it is on how companies view HR and what it should be and what they allow it to be. Where I think you can turn the tide is HR can lead in these efforts. And I'll give you a good example. Just recently, I was put in charge of the culture of La Rosa's. And that's exciting stuff. And the biggest difference that I was told was how I approached our people. Positive workforces can't happen unless the HR person is positive first. And it's not positive like, woo, puppies and unicorns. It's positive like, it's just your approach, meeting people where they are. We hire people at our place at 16, and we have people that work in our workforce that are in their 70s. So you have to be different with every person. But doggone it, they do great work. And I guess it's how we view our people, which is a much different thing. I think too often, Rayanne, people try to make a positive workforce through systems, and I don't think that'll ever work.
I would agree with that. And part of that is that people are a system, right? So you can't, it's very difficult to, I'm a big believer in systems thinking and systems management, that type of approach to management, that if one part of the system fails, the whole system fails, right? So we all need to be a part of that system. And it seems to me that you have a great understanding of that, and you approach HR on such a positive side of the scale that I think it becomes infectious and people are drawn to you. That's my experience thus far with just promoting the show. Everybody has been so excited about the fact that you are my guest this week. We need to break that down. We need to figure out what is the secret of Steve Brown. Is he transfixing people as soon as they approach him or they talk to him? What kind of witchcraft are you using, Steve?
I like meeting people more like they are versus who I am. I find every person fascinating, and I mean that. I don't find anybody people don't put me off. They don't dishearten me. I get excited about meeting people because everybody has so much to offer. I find out about their hobbies, their lives, and that kind of stuff. And honestly, the thing that's nice here, Rayanne, is my company understands that by doing that, in investing in our people much more at a grassroots level, that we're getting engagement, true, pure engagement, because they have someone they're connected to. I get excited when I go see my cook at our Dayton store who's going to school to become an artist. And every time I see him, I say, how's art school going? What's happening? It takes an incredible amount of effort, but what a great way to use my time.
Are you making notes on people? I mean, how do you remember all of this? My very first recruiting boss used to keep everything in a Franklin planner. I mean, everything. He would write notes about everybody and anybody he ever met, sent birthday cards to everybody and anybody he ever met, right? And it worked. It worked for him. He had this really great approach to networking prior, way before social media. So does it require an effort? And this kind of takes us right into the next question. Nature versus nurture. Did someone teach you to be nice, Steve? Or do you remember as a kid just loving meeting people? I mean, how did this come about? Did it come by organically for you? Or was it something that you really worked at?
A little bit of both. And it sounds funny. I sound like one of those athletes in NCAA. My mother is the most amazing person ever. Example is this, is one day at our church, they said, would you put in the offering basket a name of someone who's influenced your life? And my mom's name came up, 100 times.
Wow.
And she's the most unassuming person. She's behind the scenes. She's caring and loving and genuine. So I think there's nurture in there. But the other thing is, I say online all the time that I'm geeked.
I saw that.
Because I am. It's not a show. It's not, hey, boy, I'm excited and this is what people should think about me. It's I'm excited all the freaking time.
I love that.
I heard a saying yesterday, funny saying, with the nature versus nurture. I think it's your approach and how you look at life. Someone quoted A.A. Milne with Winnie the Pooh.
Oh.
This is going to sound odd, but Winnie the Pooh and Piglet wake up in the morning, and Piglet says, Winnie, what's the first thing you think about in the morning? And Winnie says, what's for breakfast? And Pooh says, well, what do you think about Piglet? He says, she, or Piglet, I don't know if it's a he or she. Piglet says, I think something exciting is going to happen today. And I went, oh, yeah, that's it.
So
I,
you
I think
create
it's also
it.
Missing.
You create that
Absolutely.
Exciting thing that's going to happen today. Yeah, one of my favorite blog posts of all time was written by a friend named Todd Langwell, and it was about the best day ever, right? And somebody would approach mm-hmm. him at work and say, how are you doing? And inside he's like, oh, I wish I could tell them how much I hate this job and how much I hate this part of my job. And he said, but I always look at people and I say, I'm having the best day ever, right?
Yeah.
And as a result, he usually did have his best day ever. It's like putting that smile on your face makes you feel happier inside. You mentioned earlier that you were just now recently put in charge of culture for La Rosa. So I want to mm-hmm. dig into that and attach that nature versus nurture question to that. When you are creating positivity in the workplace, when you are building a culture, when we look at success, how that will be successful, can it be built, or does it have to be organic? Does it have to come one person at a time? Does it have to come as a result of Steve being a nice guy? How are you going to approach this in developing a greater culture?
Two things. One, I am walking side by side with operations because that's where we need to make it happen, in our stores and to win in front of our guests. But in the past, a lot of what we've done is very programmatic, and we launch these big launched things and beautiful names and neat acronyms and parties and stuff. And what I found, Rayanne, is in most companies, including our own, we were with the model of results drive behavior. So if we need to improve our labor, we change our labor goals and we'll get better labor. If we need to change our food cost, we'll get better food cost. And what I'm showing them and what's playing out so far is behavior drives results. So if we can get people to have a certain approach, consistency, positive, genuine, it will, in the end, drive results. Now, it's a theory right now, but where we've seen it used, it's working. And people are enjoying what they're doing more instead of coming to work. They're coming to La Rosa's. I don't want to make light that they have a job or that they have a role, because they do. And people are, role scopes are different. But, boy, if I'm a cook, I want them to kill it. If I'm a host, I want them to kill it.
Right.
If I'm a server, I want it to be fantastic, so that when Rayanne and her family come to the restaurant, it's the best experience they've ever had. So a lot of this is very behavioral in nature. I've taken it away from being soft to say, no, this is a hard skill. These are skills that we don't teach each other, and we need to teach each other more.
I love that. Can I come work for you? I'll
sure.
come and eat, but can I get a job too? I'd be happy to wash dishes in the back. So, do you, Steve, when you look back on your history as an HR director, you've been doing HR for quite a while now. Do you have any examples of how a positive workforce has created business success?
Yes. I think one of the biggest things that I've tried to take in the workplaces I've been is take the traditional structure that we have and just bend it a little. And I'll give you an example. We are very much a policy and procedure type of group. As HR people, we think rules will make people's behavior better, and they don't. They just confine people. So I take rules and procedures and make them parameters. Here's how you do your job, Rayanne. Within these parameters, go crazy. If you go outside them, I'm going to address them. If you stay inside them, you'll kill it. You'll do so well. And if you just give people a different perspective in their role, they'll start performing. And then the other side is, being a little radical, we don't have a performance management system. We're trying to
Wow.
do development and feedback, and it's a lot more work. But development and feedback is what people respond to. Performance management systems have their place, but honestly, most people use them as report cards, and I don't need a report card. I need somebody to come and do their job. So we have to be more intentional in trying to make them understand that they're cared for, that we love that they're there, and when they have that, they start changing their behavior too. And it's amazing. They open up more. They talk more. Most recently, real quick, there's a book out there called The Question Behind the Question that I've used, where people can only ask how and what instead of why. Because when we ask why, it's defensive. Why aren't you doing
right.
this, Rayanne? Why aren't you doing this? Instead of saying, what's in the way from getting you this done? How can I help you do that? Told some of my managers it. They've tried it. And they're like, people are talking to me. I said, there you go. So it's
great.
Really like chipping a mountain. You know, I understand it's a huge, gigantic mountain, and we're just chipping away at it a bit at a time.
Well, I would love to have you back in 6 to 12 months and get an update on how this is working for
sure.
La Rosa's. And so let's plan on that. I want to take it one step further, though. I'm sure you're familiar with the Peter Principle.
Yes.
Okay. So have you any experience thus far? I know that this is new, but have you any experience thus far where it's affected negatively, where somebody has felt like too much pressure on them, and they've been pushed into a position that they're not familiar with, or promotion to that point of incompetence, right? So, how are you going to handle that if that should come up? Because sometimes people do one job really well, and they're given more responsibility, and they fail miserably. So, what will be what's going to be the strategy if that happens?
Sure. We're trying to define the scope of the people who are in charge in our pizzerias, especially. That's where our focus is, because it's where the majority of our business is. And one thing I have to say on the side, if HR isn't where the majority of the business is, you're just an administrative person, and you're not making the impact that you could. So we're right alongside with operations, and what we're going to do is work with the managers to help define their scope together, instead of saying, this is what you're supposed to do. This is your job description. Because what we found is when we've launched systems that are very tight, they get them done, but they approach it like a task. And we need to have more of a continuum. But we're already anticipating that there will be people who say, I don't get it. I don't like it. This isn't me. So we're trying to use a common language. We're going to use StrengthsFinders. Because, again, positive works. We're going to talk from our strengths instead of our weaknesses. Too much of our corporate life at my company here and at many companies is we measure what we don't do instead of what we are doing. I want to measure what we are doing and improve that. And then the other side that will hopefully help the Peter Principle side of things, we're changing our perspective from HR and operations of, instead of telling people what to do, we're going to say what obstacles are in the way of helping you do well. We can remove obstacles because we're good at that. And then,
so,
you know, it's basically, we'll see how it works.
Well, I love this. And of course, that's looking forward, right? So there is the other side of it, looking back, the hiring side, right? How do we, when we look at when a new employee comes in and we think about what brought them to La Rosa's, was it our employment brand? Was it a friend that referred them? Was it an answering an ad in, either on Monster or some other job board forum? And the talent attraction side of it, the employment branding side of it, how will that be approached differently with this new approach that you have to talent management?
I think the biggest change is, does the culture reflect the sales job to get you in? I think we're very good at getting people excited about our place of employment, and we don't lack for people. We very rarely, if ever, have advertised, because word of mouth is how we find people. So we have generations, literally, of people that come work for us. And we've had people refer and that kind of stuff, but we want the experience coming on board to be upbeat, our culture is named to reach out and make smiles. We want them excited. We want them to know what's going on. When they hit that first day and it's not like that, and you're standing on concrete for 8 hours making pizza, we have to get that next point. So I think our critical point is not so much the onboarding and recruiting. It's the how do I make sure that first 30 days it matches what we said coming in. And we have a lot of work to do on that. There's going to be training that we do that we're going to develop that's more intentional. We're doing our training in the stores instead of a big classroom, because I want to take our resources to the people where they're at. Too often we tell people to come somewhere. I think it's more important to be more of that evangelist and get in front of them and say, I love your workplace. I want to be here. I want it to be hot and sweaty.
Right.
And let's make it work, because where you interview here. So interviewing in a classroom is different than interviewing in a booth in a restaurant. So I think making things more tactical and practical in someone else's workplace, we're going to have more success. But it's a huge, huge opportunity in front of us.
Well, and it makes a significant difference when you consider the retention of that employee, right? It's a continual hiring process. Even though they have been hired, they've signed on the line, which is dotted, they're showing up for work, they're donning their apron, you have to continually excite that person about their job, about why they should be invested in their work. Why should they care? So I call it ongoing onboarding, right? It's just a continual process at trying to hang on to the quality employees that join your organization. And sometimes in that, you're going to lose some employees, and maybe they weren't the right employees to begin with. I want to ask you real quickly, and this is kind of off topic a bit, but it came to mind as you were talking. I don't know if you're too familiar with Starbucks and how Howard Schultz has redefined what they have going on, but several years ago, he actually closed every Starbucks shop around the world for 3 hours and retrained his baristas. And it seemed to be a turning point for Starbucks. You know, he went out and closed several stores that were underperforming, and closed them down permanently, and then took 3 hours out of a day where, I mean, we know how much money Starbucks can make in a three-hour time period. But
right,
I think he actually did it mid-morning. I think it was like at 10 a.m. He closed every shop and had every barista retrained. How do you think that impacted that workforce? Do you think that some of those people decided, this isn't for me? I don't want to be that that invested in making coffee. I don't want to be that invested in the the customers that walk through that door. It sounds similar to what you're doing. I don't think you're going to close every pizzeria, but it sounds like you are making a concerted effort in changing how we approach how your employees approach their work, and it has to come from the top. So it makes sense to me that leadership is involved here.
Right. I think it's one of those things where before I came here, HR was very rarely in the stores. HR came out when there were problems. And I'm in the stores now all the time because we have stores. And that's it. So we had to develop a relationship first. And then this intentional move like Starbucks did, the reason we want to do something like that is it shows our commitment to this investment. It's not an email or a big program or a big binder. It's you're seeing my face, you're seeing my hands, and my time is so important because I want you to succeed. And we've never taught in any company I've worked for, we've never taught people how to deal with each other, how to interact with each other, simple human interaction. We make it these lofty things and call them different psychological terms, and people just want to treat each other well. They really do. They just don't know how. So I think showing them, we're going to do it, I'm stealing from a friend of mine at the Bistro Group, which does Fridays, and they're using the approach show, do, review for training. So I'm going to show you what to do. I'm going to let you do it, and then we're going to review how you did. And then we're going to show you again. And then we're going to do it again.
Right.
Can individualize it.
Repetition is the best teacher. we know that to be true. You know, there's been so much negative talk lately about employment branding, that it's all a lie, you know, that it's a ruse. I read an article today about how to really, truly brand your company so that you're attracting the right type of talent, you know, turn it over into the hands of the employee was the gist of the article. I'm not sure that I agree. However, I do believe that there can be greater truth in advertising when it comes to employment branding, that I think that there is great opportunity to show truly what it is like to work for that organization. And so how are you going to do that moving forward? Are you retraining managers? Are we letting some managers go? I mean, we know that the biggest reason people leave an organization is because of their boss, because of their supervisor. You know? And a lot of times it is because for a better opportunity. But the most common reason is because of their boss. So how are you going to approach this when it comes to looking at leadership within your organization?
We're doing something a little. I'm very much a bottom shelf person, Rayanne. I don't believe in doing things lofty because I don't understand it myself. We're going to make playbooks for every store. And in the playbook, we're going to sit down with every manager. I can't assess the manager until I help him or her define who they are currently. And once we define that, we haven't had that intentional focus. Our focus has been, let's make pizzas, let's do it effectively, and let's make revenue. Awesome stuff. I want to build this inside of that and on top of that, not in spite of it. In the past, it's been people side, one side, product, operations another side. Now it's going to be integrated together. And so once we have people defined, then we're going to sit down and we'll have those tough conversations if we need to. But we really believe in giving people a great opportunity. We have incredible tenure. We're not like most restaurant companies. You know, we celebrate people's 15, 20, 25, 30-year anniversaries, doing delivery drivers, managers, working at our bakery. So we're a different animal. And it's nice. I like being with a company that's different because it allows me to be different with them.
Well, they've made a very wise choice. I can see clearly why you are so effective in your role and why so many people were excited about you being on HR Latte today. I'm talking with Steve Brown, who's the head of HR with La Rosa's. You can find Steve on Twitter at S Brown with an E, HR. S-B-R-O-W-N-E-H-R, and I'm sure he'd be very happy to converse with you if you have questions about what he's doing at La Rosa's, what they're doing, how they are driving forward with people success, just not business success, but the success of their people. And Steve, now I want to talk about you personally. You come to La Rosa's with this great aura. Let's get it right, Rand. So I have only one cup of coffee in. It was 5 o'clock this morning when I woke up, so only one cup of coffee in. But aura, you come to it with this great aura of positivity personally, right? So I want to talk about how do you create your own retention? You've left several organizations you've been with 8 years or more. So what have you done differently to secure your own employment? If you have a couple of things you can share with us that have helped you to continually strive to do your job better so that in the end you are guaranteeing your own retention.
Great question. I think the first thing, Rayanne, is I have a giant network of people around the globe. I know I can't do this job on my own, and I rely on my friends for resources. Social media has definitely helped that, but when you were mentioning the person before, I have a network that goes out to 6,600 people every week where I send them an email and write a song that makes fun of HR, but it lists resources. And in the resources we share, I get information constantly from people. So I take the blogs I read and use them as well as share them. I'm a voracious reader. But the biggest thing is I'm connected to people outside my organization in the HR community. I want to see the HR community come together completely instead of being so separated or so isolated. And I love that. It energizes me like no other. When I came here, the two things I asked before I came on board was, can I integrate HR through the organization? And they said, sure. And that's taken almost 9 years to start, but it's awesome.
Wow.
It's worth the time. The second thing is can I stay active in the HR community? And they said yes. And gosh, I'm active at a national level now. I mean, it's ridiculous. And they support it fully. So those things help me say, this is the place I want to be. And they're allowing me to make a business impact. I think if at this point in my career, if I didn't have that chance to make a business impact, I'd have to find some place where I did. But I absolutely have it here.
Steve, I can't believe it's already been a half an hour, and I always give myself, you know, 15-minute buffer, so I'm hoping you can hang on for a few more minutes. We actually do have a caller. I don't know if they've been holding for quite a while, so I don't know if they're just listening, but I'll open their mic and see if they have something to say. They've got area code 678. You're on the air. This is Rayanne.
Yeah, this is Mike Copperman. How are you, Rayanne and Steve?
Hi, thanks. Thanks for calling in. Did you have a question for Steve?
Well, you know, number one, I just wanted to listen. But, yeah, I did have a question for Steve and have actually been tweeting a number of his comments and quotes. But, you know, having met you, Steve, you are an enormous man physically. You're No, I mean, and that leads to my question is that because of your height, because of your size, you approach somebody, you could potentially be very intimidating. And that, in many cases, is a bad combination with HR to be intimidating. And when did you realize that you needed to do something to offset the potential intimidation of your size? Because you have done it extremely well. And I'll throw, before you answer the question, I'll throw it in here. One of the things that I think disarms people when they meet you is that smile of yours.
Absolutely.
I have never seen you without it, and it is very welcoming. But have you ever had that issue with people being intimidated by you?
Not that I know of, or not that they've said. I've always been a person, Mike, that's I'm surrounded by people. My wife doesn't quite get this. I mean, I will go to a mall just to be around people. It's that much of a drive for me because I learn from people. I know it sounds hokey, but it's true. When I met you, I got to find you out and see what you do, and it's awesome stuff to me. I think the biggest thing that is disarming is, A, my smile, because I can't help it. I'm smiling
yes.
now.
can actually hear it in your voice, too.
Yes, we can.
But the other thing is, you know, I want to meet you and get to know you. I don't talk about myself much. I don't like to. I want to get to know you because that matters more to me.
That's absolutely genuine about you. How tall are you, Steve?
I'm 6'4".
Okay. Well, yep. But it is the smile. It is definitely the smile. Mike, thanks for the question. Really appreciate the call in.
Sure.
We have somebody else that has just called in, area code 815. Thank you for joining us today. Did you have a question for Steve or just lurking?
Rayanne, I would ask Steve about what he's doing, not only for his company, but for the HR community as a whole. And he's not that tall.
Who is this? Who is this?
John Jorgensen.
Oh, that's
Hi, John.
Hi, Rayanne.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling in this morning. He is that tall. I'm only 5'8", though, so he feels really tall to me. So. It has been such a pleasure having you on the show. I have my favorite part of the show now, and I hope you'll indulge me. This is I call this my selfish part of the show, and I like to ask my my guests, four quick hit favorite questions.
Sure.
What's your favorite food?
Pizza.
You are a very smart man. Along with being very kind, you are very smart. And what is your favorite book?
Wow, that's a tough one. My favorite book, 1,000 Albums You Must Listen to Before You Die.
Oh, that's awesome. No one's ever said that one before. I love that. 1,000 Albums You Must Listen to Before You Die. I'm definitely going to invest in that. And your favorite place. Now, I always explain this because it could be a room in your home. It could be a park by your home. It could be a remote location, a beautiful destination. Your favorite place in the world.
Favorite place, England. Went there 20-some years ago and just felt at home. I love the UK.
That's wonderful. You need to go back and listen to my series last month, The UK Connection, then. So.
Oh, I will. I will.
And last but not least, tell me, what is your favorite thing to do?
Wow. That's a tough one. I don't have a favorite. I have so many. I think my favorite thing to do is do stuff with my kids. My kids are almost adults now. And when I get to see them do stuff and succeed, it makes my life better.
Well, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the show. I thank everybody out there for listening. Steve Brown has been my guest today, head of HR at La Rosa's Pizzerias. You can follow him on Twitter at sbrown with an E, HR. Thanks again for joining me today, Steve. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Rayanne. It's been a pleasure, too. You've made my day.
Thanks so much. Please join us for the rest of the series, Positivity at Work. Kelly Long at Rackspace will be my guest next week, and then the following week we'll be blessed to have the Lou Adler on the show, and then we'll wrap up with Kelly Orchard, who is a life coach, positivity, a former recruiter in her past life. So I'm looking forward to continuing this series. It's been great talking with you today.